sees the world from both perspectives, as a political place with a lot of problems, and as a place where people are trying to connect to each other. I think the father figure in this provided a narrative thread throughout the film, and his predicament interested me as a character, his progress through the film, a learning about himself and about the society he come into, and confronting the ghost figure at the end and hanging himself, worked for me as a narrative, as a human story. Perhaps better than some of the others, but I don't think it should be dismissed simply because it doesn't completely succeed in combining these two things together. I think he does a rather better job than almost anyone I can think of right now as a filmmaker and as a novel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to respond, first of all, just to this remark. I don't think, with the exception of Richard, that everyone here is dismissing this film. I do think, myself included, that what we're saying, and I have committed the crime, if you will, of seeing it now for a third time, I do think that it is ambitious and it cannot fulfill its own ambitions, and I think that the way in which that's been articulated is very well articulated. I think it is a deeply cynical film, more so than Laundrette, and I think it's a fair criticism to say of a film that intends to be a social critique that it offers no hope and no. It doesn't even, I think, offer insight. It doesn't offer either of the things that, what were your two conditions for good and great?
Iris Murdoch's, yeah.
You know, neither of those comes out of this film. That doesn't mean it's not entertaining. The second point is the first gentleman who spoke here said something, I think, about that if we were going to talk about a political message, that it belonged in a documentary.
Yeah.
I really
I think
have
in politics and art really come to loggerheads. That if you have a political message, that when it becomes overt, you lose the narrative and it's easy absorption of the audience. It becomes very didactic.
Well, I have a real serious problem with that idea, and I'm going to tell you specifically what it is. I mean, let's use the word ideological, maybe, instead of political. There is no cultural artifact that is devoid of ideology of one sort or another, whether it's a fiction, a documentary, you know. The question, I suppose, is how conscious is the ideology that's inscribed in that artifact, whether it's a book or a movie, you know, or a piece of music, which would be much more difficult and complicated. I do think, that's why I said what I said in the beginning, that in this country in particular, movies are movies, not film for the most part, entertainment, and we are allowed for the most part, except for those of us who teach or those of us who sit in courses or in lectures of this sort, you know, not to think any further after you walk out of the theater. But the truth is that there they are, littered all over the landscape. And then there's television, my God, in which there's enormous amount of what I will call ideology, which I think is a broader term and includes politics, or a great many kinds of politics, which cannot and should not be ignored. And it doesn't, it's not just documentary.
Would Tariq Ali care to tell us, or maybe guess as to why the black community didn't like these movies and the white one did in Britain?
Well, I think for a mixture of reasons, both good and bad. I mean, I don't think that, the community isn't monolithic, point number one. Secondly, very few people from the community go to movies as such. They tend to see them on television. So the cinema-going audiences, by and large, in Britain are essentially white middle-class audiences in the sort of cinema houses where films like this play. let me be precise. So that could be one reason. There were bad reasons why within the Asian community people didn't want to go, because there's a feeling, which I disagree with, and on that I would defend Hanif Qureshi to the hilt, that you don't wash dirty linen in public. And for that reason, it's the sort of letter which Richard read out, which his aunt wrote him. I mean, there were lots of other letters he got which he hasn't published, which were more vicious. But for similar reasons, saying that, you know, you don't do this sort of thing in public. And I think that's wrong. But also, you see, what he was saying is, to the community, it's very well known. They know perfectly well that within the black community there are businessmen, there are crooks, there are heroin smugglers, there are rapists, there are you name it, and they are there. So we were constantly trying to wonder what the attraction of these films was for, you know, let's say, what the cross-cultural attractions of these films were. And I think one reason for the popularity of Laundrette, from talking to many, many people, was nothing to do with Thatcherism or politics, but the way in which the central homosexual relationship was depicted, without prurience or voyeurism, but something totally and completely natural, which I agree, I think that was an important thing in Laundrette. I don't think that, incidentally, of the way in which sex has been portrayed in Sammy and Rosie Get Laid. There is a strong voyeuristic, cynical streak in it, and especially the portrayal of the lesbians is very, very deliberate and hard, and in some contrast to the earlier depiction. But apart from that, we very few people from within the community have written about it, and it's difficult just to. I mean, this is based on personal conversations with a very wide range of people on these films, and on some things he has to be defended, which is his right to make these films. But you know, for people who live through some of these things, they are not so original, though I see that they can be, where you get a totally one-sided picture of what Britain is.
Strikes me. Oh, do you want to say something?
I was just going to say to that. I think I'd add that I suspect that white audiences in Britain would have been more hospitable to the film, probably because it's rather more difficult for liberal white audiences to say, be critical.
Yes, that's true as well. That is absolutely true.
It seems to me that the central problem that the movie focuses on is really race, more than anything else. I think it's a movie about race. And that, I find, is conservative in what's been said so far, yet that came across to me as really, you know, what it was all about, you know, races living together, minorities living in white Britain. I think that perhaps the appeal in this country is that race is something that we almost never talk about. Try to get into a conversation about race sometimes in America, it doesn't work very well. But this film, I think, allows it to be sort of talked about and presented. I think it answers a need, probably, that we have in this country to air some of those issues. Mm-hmm. And yet it's enough removed from us, so it's not dangerous. I wonder if there are any comparable films being made in America today.
Do you have more?
Well, I'm just thinking as you're talking, because since I've seen it three times, I keep thinking, well, what is it about? And I don't feel that way. I think that whoever said it about Frears and Karishi as a team, interesting, that they are essentially about relationships. And I don't know how many people saw Prick Up Your Ears, which is another, it's not actually Karishi, it's Frears. And it's also about a homosexual, male homosexual relationship, a famous playwright. I was thinking just what you've asked, you know, what's being made in this country that addresses race, and the only thing that comes to mind at the moment are the films of Spike Lee. She's Got a Habit, and the new film School Days, which are at least irreverent to some degree in the style that these films, these British films, are. I mean, perhaps somebody in the audience has some other suggestions, but I honestly can't think of, I mean, I don't know if you want to include something like an Eddie Murphy film.
No.
Okay, or Bill Cosby?
Or Born in Flames, Lizzie Borden's Born in Flames.
Well, that's right. Okay, do people know that film? Born in Flames by Lizzie Borden, it's about four, some people have seen it. That was an independent, very low budget, very interesting film.
But the films are hard to find.
Well, it's a little bit what we're talking about at the beginning, which is there are no mechanisms in this country to make even this film, which we're saying isn't so great. And that is a very serious problem. Spike Lee will tell you about that.
I just want to say about the subject of the film, I agree it's centrally about race. It's also centrally about sex, and I'm not sure I see the total cynicism of it. I mean, it seems the most affirmative moments of the film are around sex. Obviously, that centerpiece number with My Girl, and it must be a main motive of making the film to make this in a time of growing censorship. I mean, the obvious growing censorship is in the selling of the film itself, where Get Laid is out of the ads. If you look at the New York Times, this movie is called Sammy and Rosie. You can barely see the get, yeah. It's burned off. But there is a growing reluctance. Screenwriters have been talking about it, about putting in sex scenes. This movie, with it, again, in a time of sexually transmitted disease fears, there's a lot of tongue kissing, a lot of physical sex in the film, and an emphasis on that, and the possibility through sex of erasing differences or racial differences, class differences. That, in that level, I think the film is very affirmative and is about both race and sex.
Hang on, there's someone. Could we? Yeah. I think we should encourage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just wanted to say it was a comment really in terms of people's perceptions. It was a lot more popular in the States than it is in Britain. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, but I wonder if it doesn't have something to do with, you know, it's been said it was a British film. And you were saying it's not popular about race, and I'm not sure I think it is centrally about race. I'm not sure as many people know exactly what the central issue is, but I wonder if there isn't something from this side of the Atlantic that wants some kind of simplistic vision of what Britain is, and there is a sort of image of this is how it is, and this is a particular part of what's going on. And I think some of us, as Terry Callaghan said, that there are elements of realism in it, but I don't think it presents a very realistic picture of Britain as a whole. And I think it picks on something, I think it raises many issues, but I'm not sure if I do see it present a political statement, because it's not really clear exactly what that political statement is. Yes, it's anti-Thatcher. That's sort of clear, but there are so many strands of what's going on in that film that I don't think it does present one particular viewpoint, but I wonder if it doesn't, from here, somehow present an image of Britain that is somehow simplistic, but it doesn't deal with many of those complexities. And I think it would be unfortunate if it was seen as somehow a British film representing the political realities of life in Britain today, even in terms of race or sex or whatever, because I don't think it does. It raises certain issues, it's a film maybe about many things, but I don't think it has one strong focus. And I would like to kind of simplify the complexity.
I mean, the interesting thing is, what is the next film he's going to make, for me? Because he's made two on very, very similar themes. And the big test will come of what is going to be his next movie. Because I think for him to move on, both Stephen and Hanif, they have to transcend this, because I don't think audiences will take, even in the United States, a third, part three of this continuing saga.
Yes?
Yeah,
Everyone has spoken about the issue of race itself in the film. I think the film itself made gestures for feminism. It hasn't been mentioned here. I found it problematic in a way because the only mouthpieces of feminism in that movie were the white woman, Rosie, and the Claire Bloom character. And you had this very static black female lesbian without a voice at all in the film. And you know that is totally glossed over in a way. And I found it very problematic.
That's what we talk about in the sense that the context becomes a backdrop. That's, I think that's crucial to remember. That's part of not, I mean, it would be easy to say just an oversight or he is sexist. I think the more difficult thing is to say, is to realize that it's the film is set up as in a kind of an analytic way, which makes the relationship between what characters do, human agency, and what the context in which they exist.
Yeah, but there's also the separation of these categories, race and gender. Racism is a black man in the street rioting.
I don't find that all that convincing. I don't think the film is essentially about race. I think that there's a certain amount of abstraction that takes place inevitably when the film comes from Britain to the United States. It's not because of the way it represents Britain, but there's certain very basic things people don't know here. I mean, it's revealing, for instance, that the incident was a real incident. And then the patterning that goes on by the narrative over that real incident is interesting because people will know it from the newspapers, from TV, and it's an intertext. You see it in connection with what the film is doing. That's one thing. But the other thing is, you know, the excitement of the film, both these films, is not unlike the excitement of probably the greatest genre of subgenre of fiction in the North American subcontinent, which is black women's fiction. And what did Toni Morrison say about that? She didn't say, I'm writing stylized fiction as opposed to realistic fiction. She said, we are trying to write black women into history. I think in the same kind of way, these films, in their furthest kind of reach, are attempting to write South Asia or minorities or the ex-colonial people into British history. It's in that sense that the fabrication of Britain is being unraveled, taken apart by films like this. That's their most ideologically powerful function.
Yeah. I have some of the problems they do, but I think it's a good point that about films or books or plays that if they're not very clear in terms of the way they're realized, that it sort of short circuits the characters in a sense, and they almost can't get through. I was at a play in London, last summer, and it was very interesting because we went backstage and had a long visit with one of the actors, and the woman in this play was ghastly. I mean, it was this hard sort of silly sexist rendition of this woman in the jungle and so forth. But what was interesting to me in that discussion with the actor was that he was well aware that the actress, they had a great deal of trouble. She somehow didn't seem to be the right actress for that part. And so he raised in my mind very clearly this issue of if it's not written, if the play, for instance, is not clearly articulated, and then it has to be directed, as does the film, that you can really mangle, in a sense, to a certain degree, what's meant to be said. And the problems you're bringing up with the women in this film, I mean, I would agree with, but I think they're just as confused and frankly unpleasant. I wouldn't call any of them feminists, you know, in any real way, but I'm not even sure it's worth going into because they don't get enough airtime.
Well, the most sympathetic character I found in the film was Victoria, actually, if one's, you know, someone asked a question, what are the characters like? That was the character I found most sympathetic. The politician who hangs himself was, for me, a totally cardboard person, totally unreal, and someone who just couldn't be like that, so I could feel absolutely nil sympathy for anything he had done or hatred for anything he'd done, because the way in which that character was portrayed was pretty awful. But there were elements of the film in which he does capture some of the street life and some of its humanity, which you know, are not unimportant. I mean, what I find a bit bizarre is that one's sitting having a discussion about films like this and taking them too seriously, in other words.
That might be a good point to end on. Unless, I'll take one more question if you have your hands raised, and then I think we have to close it up.
I was just saying, I think it is true that Victoria is the most sympathetic character. I think it reflects some of Qureshi's ambition. If you look at the essay that prefaces the screenplay of My Beautiful Laundrette, The Rainbow Sign, in that he talks about the fact that he knows he is unsympathetic to what he feels is Pakistani culture. When he goes back, he doesn't fit in. He's unsympathetic to many of the things that he finds in Britain, and what he wants is a person like him to help Britain, in a sense, redefine itself. And one of the values that he hopes it will come out with is a kind of gentleness. And it's the sort of gentleness in Victoria that tries to emerge, I think, maybe, to represent what Qureshi's hoping for, even if I have previous criticisms about the way he realizes it and the way he distances us from or attempts to take it seriously. In that way, I think he is groping at that and trying to have Victoria articulate some of the hopeful side of what other people see as a nihilistic film, or a dozen people.
So, you know, the Beautiful Laundrette ends with one very interesting reformulation. The father says, the old father says, pointing to the son, the father and the uncle get together, he and his brother get together, and they're talking, the guy's on his deathbed, and he says, they are the future of Britain. And he's pointing to two people who are both Pakistani British. It's a scandal of that which I think is the power of this film. The future of Britain is not necessarily to be conceived purely in the terms of typical white British, but they are the future of Britain. It's that conjunction between cultures and the fact that it is an indelibly post-colonial situation, which simply can't be reconstructed in pre-colonial terms. That's what I think the challenge of that film and this film is too. I mean, that's the kind of great challenge that it makes to us. I having said so many bad things about the film, I should just want to say that the a couple of moments in this film, more than in Laundrette, which struck me as visually and in terms of cinematic conjunction quite powerful. I thought the moment when in the trailer, when the people outside are singing "My Girl," and the shot right after that, when you move inside, visually, just a stunning shot, because it comes, the guy's lying nude and she is next to him, but they're not yet making love. It's she just has a hand, and all you see is a hand. And moments like that, cuts are wonderful, absolutely beautifully used.
I think it's getting late, and we're starting early tomorrow, so I want to thank all the a panelist came up for today. They'll be around a few minutes after.